The Barn Theater in Augusta is celebrating a very special anniversary, 75 years. And sitting across from me in the studio is an actor and performer who has known a number of those years, not the full 75, certainly, but has also created deep, deep ties with the theater and the family behind it. I'd like to welcome Robert Newman to WMUK. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Your accolades as an actor are so numerous. Your life dedicated to theater, film, and television. It's just an award in itself. An acknowledgement itself just to say you have done this for so long. You are so seasoned. You have so much range. I admire anyone who has dedicated their life like this. Thanks for...
Well, thank you. I really appreciate hearing that. Most of the time, you know, I feel like I'm just another out-of-work actor looking for the next job. You know, that's kind of... My wife kind of jokes that the default position for an actor is unemployed. I got through many, many years on the soap opera without that, you know, where I actually knew where I was working next week and next month and next year. But since the soap ended in 2009, I just live a pretty regular actor's life, and I just feel like just your basic guy who's looking for the next job. But well, thank you. That was really lovely.
I mean, we were talking architecture a little bit beforehand, yeah. And you have built a beautiful edifice to acting.
Thank you.
let's get excited about 9 to 5. This is a musical that starts next Tuesday, July 6th, and the Barn Theater is off and running. Actually, there was a gala event this last weekend with some celebration, which I hope was marked really well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had some really good attendance, you know, about, you know, maybe 100 to 150 people every night, and they did a film that was a bit of a documentary on the history of the Barn Theater, and then they do a live auction, and then they had these crazy talented apprentices doing medleys from the four musicals that they're doing this season, and then just interacting with a bunch of the locals here, and I've really over the years I've gotten to know so many people who frequently attend the Barn Theater, and it's always good to see them again. In this particular case, you know, it's been a while, so it's nice to see people again.
I should say that one thing that does intrigue me about the Barn Theater is that it says right on the web address, barntheaterschool.org.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means it's a training place.
Well, it's always been a bit of a training place. The Barn Theater is one of the few theaters left in the equity theaters in the country who still has an apprentice program, an EMT, equity apprentice training, I think that is for. And so they have anywhere from 15 to 22 apprentices that are all at different places in their, usually they're in different places in their college training for theater. They're either musical theater students, many of them are, because the Barn is, you know, does quite a bit of musicals, or just theater general, or some of them might be directing students or something, but they come to the Barn for 3 months out of the summer in an all-immersive kind of way. There are no traditional classrooms at the Barn Theater, but they all work in different aspects. They're all assigned to – I was assigned to the shop because I have a background in building stuff. My dad owned a bunch of apartment buildings in L.A. Mm-hmm. when I was growing up, and I knew how to do all those things. So I was in the shop, and then some people are in wardrobe, and some people are in props, and some people are in lighting. But the idea is that you're learning all aspects of what it takes to run a theater like that. And so for me, I was an apprentice, and this is the 40th year of my apprenticeship at the Barn Theater in 1981.
Congratulations.
It gave me a very early appreciation for the bigger picture of theater. You know, we actors, we tend to think it's all about us, and it just isn't. It's really a collaborative effort. It's like going to a symphony, and each sound, each player has to do the right thing for it all to come together in a beautiful way. And that's true with what we do in the theater world.
Nice analogy for a classical station.
Thank you. And You know, and I think we need that. I think even, especially as actors, we need that. We need to understand that we can't do our jobs without people being really good at lighting and sound and scenery and those kinds of things, and not to mention writing and directing and producing. So, you know, we all have to work together to make this thing wonderful, a wonderful audience experience. And so for me personally, it becomes a bit of a mentoring opportunity for me. And
certainly.
I don't like hold a class with the apprentices, but I speak with many of them on individual basis. But also I mentor by trying to just be the best example I can be. So mm-hmm. I'm on time for rehearsal. I'm prepared. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I try not to throw big temper tantrums or things like that. You know, no, I try to stay away from any diva behavior and just try to show them, you know, this is the way you work in the real world.
Must be truly eye-opening for a young person to work an entire summer and not necessarily know what they'll be doing next. I mean, like you said, there's a real churn.
Well, it's a couple summers. It's 2 to 3 to get your union card.
So you see returning.
So at the end of all this, idea is you can get your union card if you choose to. And but I just think it's an invaluable experience. It's exhausting, and it can be super frustrating. And I remember there were probably 4 or 5 times during the course of that summer that I was just like, why am I doing this? I'm a big star. Why am I doing this? And I wasn't, you know. But I think for the most part, what people learn is just invaluable. You just can't get that. I don't know where else you get it, honestly.
You sure would learn quickly what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, just and what works for you as well. When you've overdone it, when you've underdone it, you know, as an actor, I think it would be pretty amazing to be taking on many roles in a row through summer.
And by the way, the apprentices are also tasked with putting on a bar show every night. So after the main stage show, you've been there. They do a show in the bar that is usually 3 sets of 3 or 4 songs each set. And that changes with every show. So every 2 weeks, they are learning not only lyrics and music, but also staging, basically, you know, simplistic staging, but staging for a brand new bar show every 2 weeks. And there's something very raw about getting up in front of an audience of people drinking, you know, and entertaining them for
4 feet away.
Yeah. And you can really succeed or fail in that. And it's a challenge. I think it's great for them.
I want to let listeners know again who I'm talking to. It's veteran actor Robert Newman, who is appearing this summer at the Barn Theater of Augusta. BarnTheaterSchool.org is where you'll find all ticket information and a full show lineup. And we're going to be talking about Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, which starts next Tuesday. This is based on the film, I'm assuming, and what has it been updated for a modern day?
I don't know. It's still time to take. So the film was in 1980, so that's kind of the period it's set in.
Okay.
The musical was first produced, I think, maybe around 2008 or 9, something like that. Dolly wrote all the music for it. These are not a bunch of Dolly Parton songs that are fit into, you know, so many of these, what we call jukebox musicals, they take all the music from, we were talking about Sting before, or Billy Joel or something, and then they kind of build a story around it. Mamma Mia is a great example, which is the next show after 9 to 5. But for this show, I think it's unique in that Dolly actually wrote the music and the lyrics for this show, other than the universally known song 9 to 5. Everybody knows that song, but everything else is written for the show, for the characters, for the story. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm always a little wary of a movie that's made into a musical. When I watched the Broadway production of this, it just knocked my socks off. It's just, it's funny as, it's wickedly funny.
I
play a despicable human being.
I got to admit, I previewed one of the songs, and I can't play it on the radio, unfortunately, because
I think I know which song you're talking
FCC.
About.
Then,
yes. But it's very Dolly. I'll say that about it. But I was also thinking just this morning, I was thinking about how You know, I'm a guy who really likes shows that I like shows that are challenging to the audience. I just do. I'm not a, you know, just song and dance me and make me happy kind of guy. I like shows that make people think. And I was thinking about this in particular and how in 1980, this film was so, it was a challenging idea then because, you know, it was about harassment in the workplace, you know, and cleverly in the film and in Dolly's musical, they take these three women and each one is harassed in a different way. One is sexually harassed. One is verbally just demeaned. And the other is not promoted when she should be promoted. You know, she's watching men be promoted ahead of her time. And they've shoved all of this awfulness into this one character that I play. So it's not quite as systemic as it can be in a workplace. But I was thinking, man, 41 years. You know, how far have we really come? I'm not sure that we've come as far as we should, you know? We're still talking about equal pay for women, and we're still talking about sexual harassment in the workplace, and these should all be should have been in our rearview mirror 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And yet still it's like, it's here today and now. And she's managed to make it wickedly funny and very energetic and really exciting and interesting, but you really root for these women.
Right.
And he gets his comeuppance.
Part of the joy.
I'm not
of it.
Giving away the whole
That's
ending,
right.
but
there's
he doesn't get away with it. You know? Yeah. So, you know, I'm pleased and proud and excited to be part of this one. I think it's going to be a really, really great show.
I'd be excited. I'm excited to hear, you know, the music of Dolly Parton. I know her radio kind of hits, but it'd be neat to see what she created for a story to fill the whole thing out and how the three women turn the tables on their just absolutely dastardly boss.
Yeah.
Wicked.
And they develop camaraderie and friendship in the process.
Yeah, very fun.
There's some really fun moments in this show. Well, I get to really
my
play
guest, Robert Newman.
Make-believe fun.
he plays the villain, Franklin Hart Jr. And finally, before we go, I'd sure like to discuss another somewhat a villainous and tragic role that I saw you play a couple seasons ago. Mm-hmm. You played
Edna in Hairspray.
I was actually thinking of
there was some tragedy involved in that. Me in a giant suit and size 13 pumps. There's some tragedy there. But go ahead.
Congratulations on that role too. I saw you in Sweeney Todd at the Barn Theater. First time ever seeing the piece and seeing that particular work. Well, not true, because I had looked at the Angela Lansbury and, you know,
Lancaro.
Yeah. I come to it as a bit of a musician. I hear the complexity and just what he built out of the material he honed to get this story to come to this inevitable but tragic conclusion. You were the perfect Sweeney. And of course, it was Penelope Rogatsky who was
Penelope Alex Rogatsky. Yes.
Yeah, Penelope Alex.
Yeah, I kind of had to talk her into that one. She kept, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, she had said, "I'm just not right for that." And I'd be like, "No, I'm pretty sure you're right for that." You just need to make it yours and stop thinking about Angela Lansbury because she did. She just knocked that thing out of the park. I was just stunned every night and honored, honestly, to be on stage with her every night because it was just an amazing performance. And everybody, you know, that music and those lyrics, I'd listened to that score my whole life and I thought I knew it front to back. But then suddenly when you've got the music in front of you and you're looking at it and you're like, this is so much more complex. And I had to almost relearn all of it because now you're talking about these little nuances and, you know, time signatures changing and all these things that are happening he does more things on one page than most musicians do on in the entire score, you know, and it's just it's such a joy to, and an honor, and I felt lucky every night to walk on stage and sing those lyrics and play that role.
Stephen Sondheim wants things to sound really natural while he's just being completely dazzling with his lyrics. And so that's why, you know, he doesn't put everything in 4-4. Everything gets all twisted around, and part of you has to be counting rests.
And he's an amazing storyteller.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most composers have somebody who else who writes the book, you know, and that kind of thing. And he's just an amazing storyteller. And I love doing his work. I've done a couple of other shows of his, Putting It Together, which is a kind of a fun romp of through much of his material, you know. And Gypsy, I've done twice. He was the lyricist for Gypsy, which most people don't know.
Right.
But man, I could Sweeney Todd. I could have run that show all summer. I love that show.
This
killing people and cooking them into meat pies.
And
now I'm playing the bad guy.
Yeah.
Now I'm playing someone who's even worse.
That's what I was going to try to segue somehow, that, you know, Sweeney has a relationship with anger, has a relationship with revenge, where he is pulled so inexorably back toward it that he hurts everyone around him, and, you know.
By the end of the play, he's killed everybody.
Yeah, whoops.
He's killed the men that deserve to be killed, the beetle and the judge. That's absolutely true, and they do for what they did to him. But he also ends up killing everything he cares about,
right,
including Mrs. Lovett and his wife, you know, and almost his daughter. That's a pretty close call for her. And then ultimately, in my view, I always played it and felt that he kills himself. He allows the boys to kill him in a sort of a suicidal way. You know, and once again, it's Sondheim just exploring this big topic of how revenge and hatred and being driven to hurting somebody who hurt you actually will at some point probably turn on you and destroy everything you love if it's allowed to fester. And it does for Sweeney.
Well, for Franklin Hart Jr., it's kind of it's about not seeing women as fully human.
That's 100% true. As something less than, something other than.
Yeah.
I remember watching Mad Men years ago and having kind of a revelation about this and thinking, you know, no wonder all the men that I know from that time period, the 50s, you know, are angry old men now, because they were like kings of the world. They could go into their workplace. They were drinking booze in their workplace.
Yeah.
There were 5 martini lunches. They were smoking. And they were, you know, going after all the women in the place. And they were just in charge of everything. Mm. And now they're not. And they're pissed off about it. And I get that. But, you know, again, I feel like, you know, we need to keep moving down this road of moving forward on these things.
Would you tell me again who your cast members, who you're playing with in
Penelope Alex, and Melissa Cotton is playing sort of the Dolly Parton-ish role, and then we have an apprentice named. Oh, man, now you're just making this look bad. I can't get her name in my head. Caitlin, I think.
You've got a whole week of rehearsal.
But yeah, they tapped a very talented apprentice for the third role in it.
Okay.
And then just a really gifted bunch of people all around us all the time. I'm so lucky to work with the people I work with, and not just at the Barn, but almost every theater I work in, I just am surrounded by people who are really good at what they do. And I love it. I love it.
Robert, I'm really glad to spend this amount of time with you and learn so much. I really appreciate getting to know you. And I hope you have a terrific run with Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, which starts next Tuesday.
Yep.
And people can come back all summer long and see you on stage. So
I'll be here definitely for the following show, Mamma Mia,
okay,
which I've never done that show before, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Well, that's 4 to the floor. You can memorize
and then,
that quickly.
I think they've got SpongeBob SquarePants and The Wedding Singer, and then 2 original plays, one by Patrick, one by Brandon, and a farce, I think.
Wow. So that's right off the top of your head.
Yeah.
BarnTheaterSchool.org is where you'll find the full season and tickets for Dolly Parton's 9 to 5. Let's hear a little bit of that opening overture. I think I've got it queued up here.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Out of bed and I start.